halfway through a show. This was winter a couple of years back, and I was singing In Summer from Frozen, ironically, Olaf's song, and they're just there on the floor rolling around. Okay, if it makes you feel that way.
Hello, and welcome to Carry On Swearing. I'm your host today, Jake Parker, and today's guest, wow, from theatre to busking on the streets, how about you introduce yourself for me?
Of course, let's do this. Hello, my name is Courtney Cyrus. I'm a full-time performer. I'm originally from Barnsley in South Yorkshire, but I moved to London a couple of years back when I was offered a place at Italia Conti Drama School. Then, upon graduating, I've been lucky enough to work in different theatres, workshops, and I also go busking on the streets of London. That was something I was doing on weekends. So I'd be at drama school Monday to Friday, and then on the weekends I'd be busking, and I've just sort of kept that going. It's allowed me to meet some fantastic creatives in the industry off the back of it, be it writers and film editors. And yeah, I think this is what I'm doing. I've got some really big goals that I want to hit in my career, and I'm really excited to be on the road to it.
Fantastic. So you mentioned about being in drama art school, did you say?
I went to Italia Conti Academy in the Barbican in central London.
Amazing. And do you think that helped you get where you are today? Does that help you, you know, progress in your career?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was there for 4 years. I mean, even like, for example, my one-to-one singing teacher that I had when I was there, I still go to her now. She's fantastic. Not just in terms of, like, obviously performing, you're singing and dancing and acting, whatever lessons, but even if it's just like life lessons as well that I learnt. And we had the coronavirus pandemic halfway through, which obviously wasn't ideal. But even just things like that, it just helped you with like problem solving and things like that. But I had a fantastic, fantastic 4 years, and I loved every single minute of it. And I had a fantastic group like for my class as well. We were really, really close. We're all still in contact with each other. And we keep meaning to say, oh, well, let's meet up and have a group meet up. But we can't because we're all busy working, but I suppose that's what you want, isn't it?
Of course. You mentioned theatre. Can you mention a bit of theatre, what you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. So most recently I was doing Beauty and the Beast at the Baths Hall in Scunthorpe, a 1,000-seater theatre. And it was absolutely fantastic. I had a brilliant time doing it. It was my first time being in a panto and playing like a lead. I've done pantomime when I was younger. I used to do the pantomime at Theatre Royal in Wakefield, when I was just like, you know, one of the little kids like dancing. But this was the first time I was like walking into an actual like principal sort of lead role, and that was fantastic. I've workshopped musicals. I workshopped a musical. This was last year. It was Pinocchio, a new musical. They're now going out. They were planning on doing like tours and going to Edinburgh Fringe. I'm not able to do it because I'm too busy at the minute. But then I also got asked to be on a cartoon that the BBC did last year called The Wolfborns. So I was they recorded it in the studio where they recorded Peppa Pig and Sooty and Sweet in London. So I was there. Catherine Kelly was in it as well. It was somebody who I loved watching on Coronation Street when I was younger. So I got to do that with her. Yeah, I've dabbled in different sort of things, but I love every single one for different reasons.
Amazing. I love to hear it. So one question I get, obviously, for what you do is about rejection. Now, obviously, you started off doing what you're doing, what you love, busking on the streets of London, like you said, on the weekends. How do you deal with rejection? Is it easy for you? Like, for example, you're going for a part for a theatre, for example. Is it easy to deal with that rejection, or does it knock you down a bit?
Yeah, it is obviously upsetting because it's something that you care about. But that translates, I think, into any walk of life. And you do obviously get a little bit, you know, upset about it, but it's, I think you've just got to roll with the punches. I mean, one of my teachers at Italia Conti, my ballet teacher, Michael Stoico, he said to me, he was like, it might take you, let's say, 100 auditions to book the dream job. You've got no chance if you give up after audition 5. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you another example. I auditioned, this was back in January for Carnival Cruise Ships. They had an open call, and I've got a couple of mates who are out on Carnival Cruise Ships right now. Molly, Ellis, Ellie and Ella Rose, four great mates of mine. And they were having open call auditions at Pineapple Studios. So I goes to it, and it was tech jazz round dancing, jazz in your heels, like Bob Fosse style. They had a contemporary dance round, solo singing, group singing, and then they made a final cut at the end of that. So after, I mean, there was at least 300 there in the morning, because they brought you in six groups of 50. So there was 300 in the morning, let alone in the afternoon, more. Anyway, I guess to the end of the day, I think there was only like eight of us left, but they'd asked me, as I think there was only two guys that they'd actually kept to the end, and they said, we want you guys to come out and do Carnival cruise ships and be on a cruise ship. Immediately, I was buzzing. I'm thinking, wow, like, this is amazing. When my four other mates got, they did the exact same thing, because the way it works is you have like a talent pool, and then you say, okay, we need someone who sings like this and dances like this. Who have we got? Oh, we got so-and-so who lives here. Bring them out. My four mates that did it, they all got contracts within a couple of months. I mean, I remember one of them, Molly, she got in the talent pool, and then before we'd even graduated Italia Conti, she literally looked at her emails one day. She was like, guys, I'm going to the Caribbean. And also, I was chuffed to bits for her. It's been 8 months, and I've still not heard nothing back. I'm still there. I'm in the talent pool. I'm good enough, clearly, because they wanted me for it. But it's just sort of like the sitting and waiting game. That, to me, I mean, I'm still classing that. You could call it a rejection if you want, but it does sometimes get difficult when you see mates or whatever it yourselves who are like away doing amazing things, and you're like, oh, I wish someone would give me an opportunity to do something similar, if you know what I mean. But again, you could call it rejection. I think you just got to roll with the punches and just like, okay, it might not be your day today, but it could be tomorrow. You know, in 5 years' time, we could have switched reverse roles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just got to go with it. You just got to go with it and believe in what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I do. I think with rejection, you kind of got to go with the flow. You can't let it knock you down. You got to keep going.
100%.
Fantastic. Your music. Now, I always talk about inspiration. Inspiration is a very big, important thing about this podcast and about how I got into film and TV. Inspiration is huge for me. What inspired you to do what you're doing now?
So, when I was... what was the first thing I did? I think the thing... when I was younger, do you remember they were doing this thing where they'd have, like, talent shows every now and again to find characters for, like, West End shows? Like, they did one... they did Grease is the Word to find a Danny and Sandy for Grease, for example. I remember Over the Rainbow was on the telly. My mum was sat watching it every week. I'm like, what's this? And she was like, oh, they're trying to find someone for Wizard of Oz. And I was like, what's that? And my mum got me on... she went and got me Wizard of Oz on video. Yeah, videos were still a thing. And we got Sound of Music on video and all. So, and I was watching them both and I was just like, oh my God, like, it was brilliant. I'd seen Lion King on as a film, and Lion King I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
But then to see films where it was like, instead of it being a cartoon, it was actual humans playing roles, I was like, humans can do it as well. So that just, I just absolutely loved it. So Wizard of Oz was one of the first things that I saw, and actually the first show that I ever did, it was a couple of years later, it was at the Lamproom Theatre in Barnsley. It was like a little gala thing. But I sang If I Only Had a Brain. The Scarecrow sings in Wizard of Oz, so that was sort of a nice moment. And then I saw Lion King in London. We came down to London, we saw Lion King. And it was just... because it's so big. If you've seen Lion King, you know they're on stilts and it's eyes wide open, just like, oh, like, what is that? Like, it was amazing. You're just, like, immersed in it. I could not believe what I was watching, and I was just like, wow, I want to do that. So when I saw Lion King and Wizard of Oz and, you know, Sound of Music, I was like, wow, okay, musicals are my favourite sort of films now, essentially. And then when I saw Lion King, I was like, boom, I want to do that. And I mean, still to this day, that's one of my best memories ever. Sat in the theatre with my little sister next to me, and we were just like, what is that? Like, it was absolutely insane. And from then on, I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do the West End and then Broadway and do Disney films and things like that.
Well, here's my question for you then. I'm glad that you brought all this up. So my question is this. If I came to you today and I offered you a musical on the West End, what musical would you want to be in?
Any musical.
Any musical you want.
Book of Mormon.
Oh, good choice, good choice.
Book of Mormon. If I could pick one role for me right here, right now, I'd say Elder Cunningham, Book of Mormon.
Amazing, I love it. Why? Out of curiosity.
So I saw that for my 18th birthday, and I was in stitches throughout. Like, I'd listened to the soundtrack and I knew the songs were amazing. But then when you were watching it, there was not a single person in the theatre that was just like, we were all in absolute stitches. And if you've seen Book of Mormon, there's a guy halfway through, they're talking about like they've all got AIDS, and one guy says, oh, I've got maggots in my scrotum. And then at the end of Act One, they're doing another song, and then he just comes out of nowhere and just goes, I've got maggots in my scrotum. And we did, so we watched it, and then there was two guys sort of stood next to each other. I don't think they'd even met before, but they just got talking, and they went, that's you, the guy with the maggots in his scrotum, or whatever. And then it come to the end, so just people that have never met before just started chatting just through watching a show. And it's like, well, that was a good part, wasn't it? That was good, wasn't it? And then it was literally right at the end. I was in absolute stitches at the end. I was like, the only thing that could make this even better is if the guy with the maggots in his scrotum comes out again at the end. And he did. I was just like, oh, yes. It was just brilliant. So good. And Elder Cunningham, I mean, I actually got to sing Man Up from Book of Mormon. This was at a cabaret in Covent Garden. And Mrs. Riot's, I got asked to go sing there. And I sang that, and it was unbelievable. It's just, the music in it's fantastic. Menken is an absolute genius. And it's so funny, and it's just a brilliant story about friends and wanting to achieve something and being, you know, spurred on by something that you're really passionate about. And I just love it.
Amazing. I've never seen it. I am going to go see it, I promise you. I've not actually, I love South Park, so I know the creators of South Park made the Book of Mormon. So I will go and watch it eventually. I've just not had time. But it sounds incredible. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
So, my question for you now is TikTok. Now, obviously, I've watched quite a few of your lives. Very, very talented, might I just add, with your guitar and ukulele and what else instruments you have. You're very, very talented. How did TikTok start for you?
So, TikTok started, I was out busking in central London, and I had a couple of mates that were getting into TikTok. It was one guy in particular. You can find him on TikTok now. His name is Robert Warren. He was going busking, and he started streaming it, and the TikTok live streaming wasn't a huge thing at the time, and he was one of the first people to do it, and literally within a week, he'd done his first live. He posted a video of it. He was like, yeah, guy, he was literally busking it straight. He went, right, and I'm live on TikTok, we've got six people, we lost one. Come the end of the week, he was like one of the biggest musicians on TikTok, and he was like, guys, I'm not coming busking again, see you soon. He was like, I'm loving it. And then I had another mate, Luke Silver. Again, you can find him on TikTok. I think he's hit a million followers now on TikTok. He's got a million subscribers on YouTube. He was doing the same thing. And he was like, he was smashing it. And then I've got another really close mate, Alfie Sheard. He lives in Doncaster. He was streaming. Within the space of like a month, he was like, mate, it's like changed my life. And he was like, Courtney, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. Like, you would absolutely smash it, Courtney. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. I started off just by doing live streaming whilst I was busking. So I set the camera up, boom, let's go. I'm doing my busking, singing. I've got my audience. And look at the camera an hour later. Oh, we've got 450 people at one time just sat here watching. Oh, we've had 20,000 views. Oh, wow. Followers were going up and up and up, and I thought, wow. And so I kept doing it, and I was still posting my videos of me busking at the time. And I had a video at the time that was going viral. It was Under the Sea, me singing. It's now got 1.8 million views on it. Probably my best video. That was circulating the internet at the time. And so when I says, okay, I'll try and... I thought, what I'll do is I'll go live from my flat Monday to Friday, and then on the weekends I'll go busking. Because I was making a decent living just busking Friday, Saturday, Sunday and holidays. But I thought, I can do Monday to Thursday, maybe Friday, and then go busking on a weekend. I did Monday to Thursday, and it was, I was like, 200-300 people just sat watching me. And I was just like, wow. And I remember that weekend, I was like, my mum says, Courtney, are you going busking this weekend? And I was like, nah, I'm doing TikTok live streaming. I'm doing TikTok live streaming, mum. And I think I took like a full month off of busking. I remember I went back to my first stream was 23rd of August, because then I went back up to Leicester Square on the 23rd of September to see a couple of mates, because my birthday is on the 22nd of September.
Yeah.
I've gone to meet him in Leicester Square on the 23rd, and I was like, it's a month to the day since I last sort of went busking, and it was brilliant. I mean, I remember I was knackering myself out and all in the beginning. I was going, because it was the summer, I was going busking during the day, doing two shows, and then going back home and streaming in the evening. And yeah, he just took off from there. And from there, Panto found me and got hold of my agent off the back of that. And I just had other people reaching out to me. I got, that cartoon that I did, that was, they found me on TikTok. When I workshopped Pinocchio, that was off the back of TikTok. And still to this day, I still go busking. I try and go at least once a week if I can, because it's good. When you're on TikTok, you're in front of the camera, it's different when you're interacting with an audience. So I still try and go if I can, and the videos that I get are brilliant. And, like, even just, like, there was this one time I was playing, this was back in April, I think, I'm singing a duet with this girl. She'd come out of nowhere, just said, can I duet with you? And she was brilliant. And I was like, moments like that, you can't get on TikTok. And so no sooner we duetted, this homeless dude come out of nowhere, pulled his trousers down and got his cock out. Halfway through the show, I'm just like, where else do you get this sort of thing? It's a madness. It's crazy, but I love it. And I wouldn't change it for the world, to be honest. So yeah, the busking and the TikTok, I think it's sort of two conflicting things times-wise, so I've got to delegate my time as appropriately as I can, but I absolutely love doing both of them.
When you're busking, obviously you've got people in the public watching you. Is that scary? Do you sense any fear doing that?
I'm not too fussed, to be honest. Most times I go, I do tend to build an audience. I'm not sort... Because I used to watch the magicians in Covent Garden, and I used to watch the gymnasts. There were some people who used to come to Leicester Square. It was three of them. It was Jesus, Titty Boy, and one other guy. Was it Adrian? That was it. And the three of them, they used to make, like, tons of money. And I used to watch their show. I was like, what is it that they're doing? And they'd start and they'd just play some music at the start, some intro music. And I was just like, what's going on? And then they'd run around and they'd have a water bottle and squirty ones, and make like a massive like circle on the floor, and like, everyone come closer, come up to here. So they built an audience, and then they'd get the audience involved, and they'd be witty, and they'd tell jokes or whatever. And I used to watch that, and I was like, how can I do that in music? Because most people are the busking, there with a guitar, yeah, you know, singing, whatever, and then they're hoping somebody comes by, drops a coin and walks off. I said, how can I make it a show? See, this is like what I said earlier, I says, I'd go and do two shows. I like to think of it as a show. Like, you know, come, stop, chill, don't be scared. I'm going to sing a couple of songs and you're going to watch me. Instead of just hearing me for a bit and drop a coin in, I want you to actually stay for 20, 30, 40 minutes,
mm-hmm,
and have a peak in the middle, and I want to like get the kids involved, and then I'm going to have a grand finale sort of thing. It took me a bit of trial and error, but after I'd gotten it, it was brilliant. So I like it when people come and watch. If people are coming and watching, I always try and say it. If I'm get to the end of the show, I say thank you for coming and taking a little bit of time out of your day to come and have a listen.
Yeah.
But I love it. I mean, you can't replace that, just interacting with an audience. TikTok's fantastic. I'll keep saying it. But there's just certain things that, like, when you're there singing and you can see people smiling and clapping along and whatever, that cannot be replaced, so I actually embrace it. I mean, I had a situation back in, I think it was May, I was singing This Is Me, and there was a guy, he must have been like 10, 11 year old, proper like dancing, he was absolutely loving it, and it come to the end of it, and I got the microphone, I says, hey, do you want to finish it off, mate? And he said the final, This Is Me, and gave him a high five, and his mum come to me at the end and was like, my son, he's got autism. The thing that makes him so happy is music. And what I saw today, that's the happiest I've seen him all year. Like, you can't replace that with anything whatsoever. It's brilliant, and I love it when that happens.
That's an incredible story. Lovely to hear it. I'm glad that music brings people together. It's an absolutely incredible feeling. Speaking about music, what is one of your favourite songs you like to sing?
Right now, I think probably my favourite song to sing is You're Welcome from Moana. I mean, I've sung it on live streaming when I've co-hosted with loads of people, and people have all said, oh my, like, that song suits you, like, so much. And I used to do that in my busking show as the third song. I'd start with I Just Can't Wait to Be King from Lion King. Then I'd do You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. By this point, people are sort of like, oh, wait, what's this? And then when I sing You're Welcome, and it's got the rap in it, and like I like to stand on my speaker and I'm going, hey, like I'm a DJ in a club.
Yeah.
Like, I love it so, so much. It's upbeat, it's fun, and that's probably my favourite. If I had to pick one, that's probably my favourite one to do. But I also love all the songs from the new Wonka movie.
Oh, yes.
I love singing some of them. I did it in... I did some of the Wonka songs when I went busking in Trafalgar Square. This was... Maybe June, was it June time? I went to Trafalgar Square and I sang a load of the Wonka songs. That was lovely. And when I do my TikTok live streaming, people seem to enjoy that one as well. So so yeah, the Wonka stuff as well is also fantastic. And Timothy Chalamet, I'll respect where it's due. I think he's a fantastic singer.
He is. I worked on Wonka. I worked on the recent Wonka film, and it was absolutely incredible. The song,
oh, you worked on it?
I did. I worked on Wonka. Yeah. Back in 2000.
Fantastic, mate.
Thank you. I worked on it in 2000 and I want to say 20. I think I started working on it near November, and it was absolutely incredible. They would play Pure Imagination in the actual studio to get people hyped up for the day. And it was incredible. One of the best things I've ever seen. I'm going to ask you a little favour now. Obviously, you can say no. Are you happy to sing a little bit now to show what you've got?
I've got no backing tracks. If you give me 2 seconds, I can go grab like my guitar or my ukulele and give you a sound.
You've got 2 seconds, go for it.
Because I'll go grab my guitar.
Nice one.
I was literally coming down the stairs like, what do I play on the guitar? And then I thought, hang on, I can play this on the ukulele instead. Oh, because I play guitar and I play ukulele. Whoosh. This is one I like doing. I've never been busking and done this on my ukulele. I've also done it with a backing track. But last time I did this, I went and picked this kid up and he was doing a TikTok dance. So, and it's out on my TikTok page if anybody wants to see it. This, from the Jungle Book, is Bare Necessities. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities of Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be fonder of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few, the bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and then you pick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw when you pick a pear trying to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear on the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you.
Fantastic.
Hope you enjoyed that.
Woo! That was amazing. Thank you so much for doing that. That was incredible.
Yeah, I play ukulele, I play guitar, and I can play wagon wheel on the harmonica and all.
Oh, very. So you're very musically talented in all instruments. Is there an instrument you can't play?
Yeah, no, when I was younger, I wanted to learn how to play guitar, and I played it for like 5 years or whatever. And then I said I want to learn a second instrument, because two instruments is better than one. So I thought ukulele, it's like four strings versus, you know, six on a guitar, so it must be easy or whatever. And I picked it up and I had a blast. Like, it was easy to pick up because I'd play guitar first. But yeah, it's just an easy thing to sort of incorporate. And when you're doing, like, guitar and instruments, it's always good if you can learn some music theory. So I learned a bit of music theory alongside it, which helps with me singing as well, to be fair. Like, just, even if it's just reading sheet music and intervals and scales and things like that.
Oh, incredible. So I got a question. I told people that you were coming on. They all got very excited. I had lots of students get involved. And I had one question. How do you prepare for an audition? What kind of method do you go through?
So for me, be organised in terms of whatever song you're going to sing, whether they're going to give you a repertoire to do or whether you've got to bring your own thing. I always get into a habit of, if I know I've got an audition or whatever, I'll record it and I'll send it off to my singing teacher and say, if I can't get in to see her, I'll just send her a video and say, look, have you got anything, you know, any advice or whatever? And also send it off to my agent as well. Just say, are you happy with this? Just on the off chance that they say, Courtney, what on earth are you doing? Like, no, change the song where they stood, you know, just in case. And then just go in and just, if you've done the prep work beforehand, you shouldn't really be going in and being so nervous. You know what I mean? I walk in, and when I'm organised and on it, like when I went for my cruise audition, I knew what I was singing. So I went in, I was like, yeah, chill, let's do this thing. The only thing to be nervous about is if it was like a dance audition, because you're going in and they're going to give you choreography on the day. But in that case, is just relax. I think just relax. And always bring some energy to the room. I mean, I auditioned for Fangirls. It's on at minute at the Hammersmith. But they had an open call for it, and I went to it, and I got recalled one, twice. So I got to second or third recalls or whatever it was. And the first round was literally, we're going to play some music and then you're going to start dancing. So I literally just, as soon as music came on, I saw everybody was a bit just like nervous or whatever. So I just shouted, I went, let's go, showtime! And then we picked this girl up and spun around and then went into the thing. That was sort of like a nice bit of an icebreaker, do you know what I mean? So bring a bit of personality to it, be yourself and be organised is all I'd say.
What is it like being famous on TikTok? Because we can both say that you've got many, many followers, and you've got many people that come and watch your lives. I think I was on last night and I saw about 200 people watching you. What does that feel like?
I mean, I wouldn't call myself TikTok famous just yet. I literally want to hit like a million followers on the platform. I mean, look at Hannah Lowther and JJ Nyman, two people in the theatre industry who have taken TikTok to the nth degree and are smashing it. But I mean, I just like it. I mean, I like the fact that I'll do a live stream, for instance, and then people will come and then they tune in most nights. I'm just like, oh, so they keep coming back. They must enjoy it. And it's nice when, for example, I went to the pop-up event that they had at King's Cross a couple of months back. I hadn't won the campaign, so I wasn't performing on the main stage, but I just wanted to go just to see who was. It was Sean and Musical Chrissy and Charlie Tyler. And even just when I got there, I'm walking around and there was other like TikTok creators there, and I was just, people like, it's him, or whatever. And people like, oh, I saw you're Courtney Cyrus, can I have a photo? I'm like, yeah, it's cool. Like, I'm, what's the word? I wouldn't say I'm a celebrity. I certainly wouldn't. I'd just say I'm not just like a normal person, but I just happen to have a lot of people tune in to see me do something. Because if I wasn't doing TikTok, I'd still be sat in my room just playing away or practicing music or whatever. It's just people can come and have a watch if they want. So I just try and treat it as normal as I can.
What? Now, you've just said that you love Disney, and obviously we've just heard your lovely example of Bare Necessities. If I told you I was doing a live-action Disney film, who would you want to be, and what film do you want to be made?
Oh, you're doing a live-action one?
Mm-hmm.
Presuming one that's not been made yet?
That's right.
Oh, crikey. They've got, oh, by the way, that's the thing, Snow White. They've got Snow White coming out next year. I cannot wait to see that. A live action. You know what? When you say live action, this map, you mean like actual like humans playing the characters, not cartoon?
No, yeah, so people actually playing the characters. You can have, I know your confusion. Lion King is classed technically as a live action adaptation of the animated film. So I guess if you were doing like a live action Dalmatian film, that would be classed as live action.
I'd say Frozen.
Okay.
I'd love to see something like, yeah, Frozen, and like Idina Menzel, like literally embodying, like playing like Elsa. I mean, what, I'd love to play Olaf, but like Olaf is, he's awesome. But like when you see the images from what it's like in the theatre, and it's one of the top musicals in London right now, I think the demand would be there. I mean, Frozen was incredible. I mean, I remember when Frozen came out, a couple of months later, I performed in Disneyland Paris. When I was a kid, I was like 11 year old. But I performed in the Disney parade in Disneyland Paris, and Elsa was there, and like, it was, Frozen by that point was almost taking over the world in terms of like a movie. I mean, to see a live action one, and I don't even, I'd be intrigued to see how they did it. Like, would they do like what they did with The Grinch, where it's snow and everything, but they'd built it in like an indoor thing? It was all like indoors. Or like, would they literally go to like, is it set in like Denmark or something like that? Like, would they go there or something like that and film it? Like, or like, you could go to like Lapland and film it. Oh my God, it'd be incredible. Something like that would be brilliant.
Another question for you. If you were going on to a talent show, for example, The Voice or Britain's Got Talent or even X Factor was around, what song would you perform for the judges?
If I was to go and perform,
No, I'm asking all the hard questions.
I don't know. I mean, I like your welcome from Moana, as I've said. It's got really low notes and a high note and a rap in it. Yeah, maybe something like, yeah, maybe that, or maybe Bare Necessities with an instrument, just to give them a little bit of something a little bit different, I think. But a song that they certainly, I think, know, but a song that I don't think anybody else is really going to go and sing, and something that's up my street, if you know what I mean.
Now, as I mentioned before the podcast, this is a swearing podcast, and obviously the one question I do ask is, in my industry, in the film and TV, there's a lot of swearing. There's continuous swearing. I've heard directors say fuck. I've heard people shout at people saying, why is that fucking camera not on? You're a bit different. Obviously, you're in the public eye. You're on TikTok and you're in busking. Then swearing, what's the most weirdest thing you've seen in London whilst doing your job?
What's the weirdest thing without swearing?
Without swearing, for now. We'll get to that in a second. What's the weirdest thing you've seen?
What's the weirdest thing from busking? I mean, the dude getting his thing out,
yeah,
that we said, that was bizarre. I also remember singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight as my finale song, and then 5 minutes later, somebody got stabbed in the head. It was literally, I'd finished, people put the money, boom, everyone's over there running, someone had been stabbed in the head. Yeah.
It's London for you, what do you expect, eh? That's London. It just makes me laugh that these two guys...
It's London. I mean, to be honest, I remember we've got a buskers group chat as well. I put in the group chat, I said, guys, I was halfway through my show and this guy got his codger out. And just somebody replied and put, Courtney, to be honest, it would surprise me more if something like that didn't happen in your show. Because I don't know why, I just seem to attract madness. Like, I mean, there's another girl, bless her, Shani Lee. If ever she's on after me, she says, right, okay, I'm on after Courtney. I need to cleanse the space from the madness that you're probably going to bring. Because it all seems to be in my show, ironically, but whatever.
And the second question is, with swearing, what's the most vile thing you've heard whilst busking or while you're doing TikTok or even in the theatre?
All right. Oh, my God, right. Okay. On Sundays, we get people that visit London that are not from London, and they come and they just, and you can tell they're coming a mile off because of the way they dress and the way they've dazzled the sends up with makeup, the females, and they are there for one sole reason, to cause havoc. One Sunday, and it's all us on a Sunday and all, one Sunday night, I'm down the other side of Leicester Square and I'm singing Hakuna Matata for my finale song. This kid comes up, unplugs my speaker and runs off. I thought, come on, don't retaliate, Courtney. And thing is, I had about 1,500 people watching. He was like, oh, so I plug speaker back in. I says, I'm trying again. Plug speaker back in, singing. I says, I'm sat on my speaker, getting it, like all this, with Hakuna Matata. He comes up, unplugs speaker again and runs off. I thought, right, keep your cool, Courtney. Plugs the speaker back in, started again. He unplugs it a third time. I ran after the little bastard. I thought, oh my God. Ran after him. He was an idiot. He ran up to this like metal fence that they'd shut the green bit in middle. So I've got your corner. I went, what? Come on, mate. And he was like, I didn't fucking do anything. It was an accident. I was off my nutter. I says, right, I'm going back and I'm finishing my song off. And I literally, the people that were busking, they're all stood at the front. They all made a circle around me so that they couldn't get in, the prats. And I'm doing, so I finished Hakuna Matata at last. Fourth time, lucky, and I finished Hakuna Matata. I mean, if anything, it made people feel sorry for me. So I got more money in my case at the end, but I thought, thank fuck for that. It's just a proper bloody annoying when you're trying to like do something and they're just there to cause havoc. I'm just like, it's equivalent of somebody from supermarket when you get deliveries and you just run in the back of the van and run off with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it bloody pisses me off sometimes, but it happens. That is one.
Amazing. So I have a question. What is your favourite swear word? My favourite, I ask everybody, my favourite swear word is fuck. It is a great one. What's your favourite one?
Fuck's a great one. I like saying, I like shizer.
Shizer? Yeah, okay.
I don't know why. I'll say something else. You could say sugar or something. I'll go shizer. And it's still shit, just in a different language, but maybe you get away with it. I did make the mistake. I went to a German and I said, excuse me, because I was genuinely, I wanted to know. I was in Germany doing this festival a couple of, like, was it 2 years back. I was singing or whatever. And we're all sat in a cafe afterwards. And I said to the waitress, I went, excuse me, if you don't mind me asking, what does shizer mean? And she was like, shit. I was like, oh, okay. So I'd say shizer. I know it's German translation, but yeah.
I like it. It's good. So now we're going to go to a bit of a serious question. What would you tell yourself that you've learnt now that you would tell your past self, like young Courtney? What would you tell them?
Just go for it and don't listen to what sort of other people say. Because like my mum, for instance, when I says, oh, mum, I've auditioned and I want to go. When I says, oh, I want to audition for drama school. And she was like, oh, but Courtney, you know, it's really competitive and you're young and da-da-da-da-da. And I still did it and I got in. I was like, Mum, I want to go down to London. She was like, yeah, but you're really young. Like, you know, are you sure? Like, she was like really like doubtful. I think it's because she was just really protective.
Yeah.
Which I've not got a problem with, obviously. All parents are. But, and then she says, okay, if you're going to move down, I moved in with a family friend from up north. And then I says, right, Mum, I'm going to be getting a flat all to myself. She was like, but you'll be scared coming home to a lonely house. I went, I'll be right. And I did it. And then I says, Mum, I'm going to go busking. She was like, are you sure on the freezing cold? I went, yeah, and I did it. And basically everything she's out of being caring, she sort of said, don't do, I've done it. And I'd argue I've come out of the right side of it. So I'd say do what you did in terms of if someone's saying no, you can't do it, go for it and do it.
I think that's perfect. That's great advice. So we're near the end of the podcast, obviously. So I would like you just to tell people where they can find you, what you're up to, what you're up to next, and just throw out your details out there for me.
Fantastic, yeah. So I say I'm Courtney Cyrus. I'm Courtney Cyrus. If you want to find me online, my TikTok page is at Courtney, I think it's at Courtney Cyrus 123. If you put Courtney Cyrus, I'll come up. And that's where I do most of my activity. I don't really use Instagram that much. I use it for posting photos, but TikTok is my jam. TikTok is brilliant. Not currently got any shows planned for the near future. Hopefully I will. If I can, like, I do live streaming most nights, like about 10 p.m. If I can, I try and say if I'm going busking in Leicester Square. If I go busking in central London, it's probably Friday night or Saturday night. Obviously, at the minute, I've just got a load of things going on, so sometimes it's difficult to find the time and fit it all in. But if I'm out busking and you see me, come say hi. I promise I'll say hi. Yeah, that's where you can find me. On the social media, in the streets, and hopefully one day in the West End.
Fantastic. So how I like to end every episode is at the count of three, we're both going to say our favourite swear word to the top of our lungs. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Fantastic. In three, two, one.
Scheisse!
I know I said to the top of your lungs, but I didn't mean absolutely belt out. That's brilliant.
Oh, aye.
Brilliant. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I look forward to seeing your TikTok lives and you busting in, and hopefully seeing you on the West End very, very soon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome, mate. Thank you so much. You take care of yourself.